South by telephone from Tucson, Arizona, on the fourth day of February 2020. I am Judge Wallins, administrative law judge assigned to this case. Present by telephone is the claimant, Mr. Scott Waite, as well as the employer witness, Ms. Michelle Mosteller. Now, the purpose of our hearing today is to consider the appeal to a determination of deputy that was issued on December 23rd, 2019. In that determination, the deputy ruled that Mr. Waite was eligible for benefits for the reason of the discharge from employment. The deputy wrote, "You were discharged for violating a company rule. You were either unaware of the rule, or the rule was not reasonable or uniformly enforced. A disregard of your employer's interest has not been established." And to the employer, it's written, "Your experience rating account will be charged." So during the hearing, we'll focus in on what caused the separation of this employment. After the hearing, when you receive my written decision, in that decision, you'll see how it impacts both Mr. Waite's right to receive benefits as well as the impact on the chargeability to the employer's account. Now, during the hearing, there are certain rights and procedures that exist. I'm going to go through that information initially. We'll then go through the documents for the hearing, and then we'll get into the testimony section for the hearing. So if this time, if you both would please take a look at that page. The list of hearing date and time, name and address.
Yes.
Mr. Waite, is that your correct mailing information?
That is correct, yes.
And Ms. Mosteller, is that the correct information for the third party representative group your employer utilizes?
Yes.
Will anyone, Ms. Mosteller, or anyone other than yourself be appearing and testifying on the employer's behalf?
No.
And Mr. Waite, will anyone other than yourself be appearing and testifying on your behalf?
No.
Then during the hearing, you each will have the right to provide me with any and all evidence and testimony on the issue of what caused the separation of this employment. Additionally, you each will have the right to ask questions of the testimony you hear from the other party, and you each will have the right to object to the use of the documents identified to be part of the hearing. Once a document has been admitted into the hearing, you still have the right to dispute any of the information in any of the documents during your testimony. At the end of the hearing, you also have the right to make a closing statement about why I should rule in your favor. All testimony must be under oath or affirmation. So at this time, I'm going to swear, say the oath once, and then I'll ask individually if you so swear or affirm. So do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you will give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Ms. Mosteller, do you so swear or affirm?
Yes.
And Mr. Waite, do you so swear or affirm?
Yes, I affirm.
Then let the record during the hearing, it'll be the testimony that I hear today as well as documents that are entered into the record today that'll be the basis of my written decision. During the hearing, if there's any questions or concerns that arise at any point in time, please be sure to bring it to my attention. The procedure I'll use for the hearing will be to first go through the notice of telephone hearing packet. I'll identify the documents for the hearing. I'll give you each the opportunity to object to the use of those documents as evidence, and then I'll make a decision which documents will be used. Then I'll turn and take your testimony by asking a series of questions. In this situation, the deputy ruled that this was a discharge. So the initial burden proof is going to be on the employer. So I'm going to start with the testimony of Ms. Mosteller first. And after she's testified, Mr. Waite, you may ask specific questions of the testimony you've heard.
Okay.
And I'll switch the process. I'll take your testimony, Mr. Waite, and Ms. Mosteller may ask you specific questions of the testimony she has heard.
Okay.
And then we go into the final reply period for any final replies or new testimony. At the end of the reply period, the evidentiary portion of the hearing is over, and there'll be an opportunity for a closing statement. After the closing statement, I will take the matter under advisement and issue a written decision. That decision can be sent out by mail or email. It will be sent out to the employer by mail, by an agreement with the department and employer representative group. Mr. Waite, you may receive it by email or mail. Email is the fastest way to receive it. How would you like to receive it?
Can I do by email, please?
What email address would you like to use?
Okay, so my email address I would like to use would be scotw8 @gmail.com.
So I heard S as in Sam, C as in Charles, O as in Oscar, T as in Tom, W as in Walter, the number 8 @gmail.com.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Waite, do you have any questions about the information I've provided?
The information in the packet or just over the phone right now?
Either one. If you have any questions, this is an opportunity to ask them.
So the only information that I, or only question I really have in the packet is when they were asking about, or the evidence that they provided for the discharge. They had said there were six instances when I only see 5 instances provided. Okay. So
that's the type of information you can highlight during your upcoming testimony section. You get to dispute any information. You can point out any inconsistencies. You can highlight any information in any of the documents once they are admitted into the hearing.
Okay.
So that's exactly the type of information you can point out during your testimony.
Okay, but other than that, no, everything else is pretty crystal clear, Your Honor.
Okay. And Mr. Mosteller, did you have any questions? I do not. Last administrative matter, the hearings are recorded on a network. If we become disconnected, please hang up the phone. I will call you back as soon as I'm able to call out. Now, if you would take another look at that page that lists your name and addresses and the hearing date and time, at the very bottom of that page, past all the information about the hearing, you should see a footer of information which includes the words Exhibit 01. Ms. Mostella, do you see that at the bottom of your page? Yes, I do. Mr. Waite, do you see at the bottom of your page?
Yes, I do. Exhibit number 1, I see it.
That footer of information should be on every single page in the packet. As the documents change in the packet, the exhibit number changes. I'm going to identify the documents by the exhibit number, the title of the document, and the length of the document. If you have one piece of paper and there is printing on both sides, that is 2 pages. So the first document is your notice of telephone hearing. It is 5 pages of hearing information, and all 5 pages are exhibit 1. Exhibit 2 is entitled General Adjudication. This is a 2-page document that represents the notes that have to use when arriving at the determination under appeal. Exhibit number 3 is the appeal document. And I have to apologize, we're having problems with our document software today, and it's generating documents very slowly.
Okay.
So this one starts off, I'm going to share a letterhead dated January 6, 2020, appealing the decision. And this is a 1-page document. Then you come to exhibits number 4 and 5. They are each 1 page in length, and the department copies of the determination of deputy that I read into the record at the beginning of the hearing that was issued on December 23rd. Exhibit number 4 is a copy that was sent to Mr. Waite. Exhibit 5 was sent to the employer. Exhibit number 6 is the employer's electronic reply to questions the department sent the employer to get the employer's perspective of the separation. Since this is electronic, I do not have pages, so I'm going to identify the main sections. The first page reads, notice to employer, and has the mail date of December 3rd, 2019. You then come to a chart. After the chart, you'll find a bolded heading entitled Conditional Information from Response. This is a series of questions on the left side. If there is a response, to the right of the question. This is the main section of the document. Exhibit number 7 is the attachment, the employer's attachment documents that were sent in with exhibit number 6. And this starts off with a termination disciplinary review and 1 page in length. My final document is exhibit number 8, which is a set of questions that the department sent to Mr. Waite to get his perspective of the separation. Questions were mailed out on December 3rd, 2019. Page 1 lists the questions that were asked and the handwritten responses. So I've got documents 1 through 8 in the file. Ms. Mostella, did you receive a copy of each one of those documents?
Yes, I did.
Did you have a chance to review the information in the documents?
Yes.
And other than disagreeing with what a document says, do you have another reason why documents 1 through 8 should not be used in a hearing?
No.
Mr. Wade, did you receive the documents 1 through 8?
Yes, Your Honor.
Did you have a chance to review the information in the documents?
Yeah, I did.
And other than disagreeing with what a document says, do you have another reason why documents 1 through 8 should not be used in the hearing?
I do not.
Then, in appeal number 1650441, documents 1 through 8 are entered into evidence. Now I'm going to turn to you first, Ms. Mostella, and for the record, who do you work for?
Assurion.
And what's the nature of that business?
We are a call center for insurance and technical support.
What town did Mr. Waite work out of?
Las Vegas, I believe.
What is your position with the employer?
I'm a supervisor, work at home.
Did you have supervisory duties over Mr. Waite?
Yes, I did.
Is there a local branch office in Arizona that you both report to?
Yes.
No, ma'am.
Yes, I did before.
Oh, hold on, Mr. Waite. Okay, so now that we've started the testimony section.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to ask you just hold your responses, because it's very important that I know what each one of you know individually without the assistance, even if it's, you know, very helpful assistance. It's just important I know what each one of you know individually. So hold on to any disputes or any clarifications or information that you might have, and you'll be able to give it to me during your testimony.
You're right, Your Honor. I apologize. Sorry.
This is not an instinctive process, so if I give you some clarifications, that's just natural, happens frequently.
I appreciate it.
And so, Ms. Mosteller, going back to you, so you're not aware of whether there was a local branch office in Arizona that he reported to, is that correct?
Let me just be specific. He did work for a local branch office. However, he was switched over to a work-at-home type of duty, and I am also a work-at-home. So within our company, we have work-at-home positions available, and he was working at home, and I was his supervisor from a work-at-home position.
Right, and I thank you for that clarification. However, when you work at home, you usually report to some central office. And that's the location of that central office that I'm interested in.
Sure. So actually, when we do the work at home, everything is online. There are Australian offices that are basically nationwide. But if you report to an office, that means that you work specifically at those offices. If you work at home, then you specifically work at home, so we don't go back and forth. Basically, he was converted to work at home, so there was no other offices or anything that he reported to. It was just his work at home environment, and I was his supervisor.
So if he has an HR problem, he would contact it online, and there's no phone or mailing address for that other offices that would assist him.
Sure. So there is a process. It's HR that he could contact at any time, via phone or online or email, as well as contacts that we have in place, so he can reach out to them at any time that he likes to. There's just no specific place that you have to go to in person, but everything is available either over the phone or online.
And I understand that. But someone in some location is processing or providing information. So where would that location be? Where would HR, if I contacted them by mail, where would that location be?
Sure, it would be in Arizona.
Do you know what town?
Phoenix.
It would be in Phoenix? Okay. Thank you. Well, that's just helpful for our records. Thank you so much. And so,
sure.
How long have you worked for the company?
I was hired on in October 7th of 2019. And you have the date of hire for Mr. Waite. I do. Give me 1 second here. I lost the page it was on. Give me one moment, please. It was March 25th of 2019. What was his final position with the company? He was a technical support representative. Is he considered to be full-time? Yes. What do you have as his final day of employment? November 15th of 2019. On that day, was he discharged for a reason? Was he laid off for a lack of work? Or did he quit? He was actually terminated for company policy violation. What was his last day of actual work? His actual last day of work was... November 10th of 2019. And what was the policy that was violated? He added a feature called Smart Home Support onto customers' accounts without their permission or their knowledge, just so he could get sales. And that is a policy violation from an integrity standpoint, as well as in the handbook. How would it be known about this policy? Whenever they were trained for Smart Home Support to add it on there, there was a training that went specifically through what you can and cannot do, as well as acknowledging with an electronic signature. Also, it was communicated very heavily almost weekly that you must absolutely have permission from customers to add anything onto accounts. When was the violation? Last violation? The violation occurred on November 13th, as well as November 14th of 2019. Okay. So you told me his last day of actual work was on the 10th. How could these have occurred on the 13th and the 14th if it was not working? Okay, then I possibly made a mistake with the dates there. So what I have is his final day of employment is the 15th. And... I'm sorry. Give me one moment here. I have multiple pages and I'm struggling to pull everything up. Just bear with me one moment, please. That's fine. Okay, I apologize. I was looking at the wrong calendar year. So let me just specify and be clear. His last day of work and termination date was November 15th of 2019. The violation first occurred on the 13th of November 2019. I was not actually working that day. I came in the next day on the 14th of November to find out that basically he had added a bunch of features to various customers' accounts. And on the 14th is when we had a conversation with him and basically terminated him. So that was his last day of work. And then the termination went into full effect on the 15th of November. So the 13th of November is when this occurred. The 14th of November is when I was able to find it and terminate him, and then the 15th was the final day that the termination was processed. But his last day of work was November 14th.
Now, according to Mr. Wade's information to the department, he indicated that he acknowledged that he had opened up while he was with a customer that particular software just to get an estimate, you know, for the customer. He should have deleted it, but didn't, but it was not an intentional error. And what is your reply to that?
Sure. So basically, that's common practice where you pull it up to get an actual estimate of what the price is going to be. However, what actually ended up happening was, and I reviewed various calls and was able to see the screen as well, the feature was added to the account. So they were added on there. Even if you just pull it up to get an estimate, it would not add it onto an account, but there was actually where he went in and added the feature onto several accounts, which is how I was able to determine that he basically added these features on there maliciously.
How do you add it to an account?
Sure. So in a system that we have, there's a feature, it's called SmartHome Support. You can go in, you basically can pull it up, it'll give you an estimate of what it's going to be for a customer, and then you click add. And when you click add, it adds it to the customer's account, and it generates a statement for you with terms and disclosures, and then it counts as a sale in our system.
And what benefit does he receive from having additional sales?
Absolutely. So there was an incentive payout per sale that they would pay $10 per sale that you would make, as well as there's a metric standpoint to it where you have a goal of how many you need to hit for that goal, so that you would also receive basically just doing your job to the satisfactory expectations.
What impact on the customer does this have?
Adding things to a customer's account without their knowledge, when they get a bill, they're going to be very unhappy about the fact that they have something added to their account without their knowledge, without their permission. It poses as a very poor business practice on our part.
And Mr. Wade has indicated that on the documentation that was submitted, they said there were 6 accounts total, but he only counts 5. And what is your response to that?
Sure. So there may have been a miscalculation whenever it was actually not a miscalculation, but there may have been an error in wording. However, there was an actual total of 11 accounts that he added this feature to. We only went in and investigated, I believe, 5 of them instead of 6, because doing this at least one time is grounds for termination. There was 11 total, but we submitted and investigated 5. So there may be a disparity on the wording there as far as how many was listed, but overall there was an actual 11 accounts.
What was the date range for the accounts that were added?
Sure. They were all on the 13th of November 2019, 11 total sales were posted for him on that day.
Was that the only day?
That was that day, correct. Yeah, just that day.
So did they investigate to see if there were other problems, other issues with some of the other accounts on the other days?
We did not. We just went in for that particular day because it was alarming that there was 11 sales posted for him just on that one day, which is virtually impossible to do. So we just investigated that day alone. And again, that's grounds for termination immediately, just because you're not allowed to add it regardless, not even just once, without permission from a customer. And 11 is extremely excessive. So we did not have to investigate any other days. That was just grounds for termination right there.
And were there any issues with computer problems that day?
With computer problems? Mm-hmm. With the software. No, ma'am, not at all. And again, like I said, whenever we can go in and review calls, I can specifically see Mr. Wade adding the feature to the customer's account on the screen. All of our calls are recorded, as well as the screens that he uses at that time. So I could see him physically going in and clicking add to add it to the customer's account without ever actually telling them that he was doing it or getting their permission. And narrowing down his objections and saying that he was not intentionally adding the account, and what is the intent to, you know, for the action? What bearing did that have on the employer's role of, for the core integrity values? Sure. So from an integrity standpoint, that's pretty much what our company is all about, is integrity. So if he did it accidentally, I could see that maybe once, maybe twice, but not 11 times. And again, whenever he populated it on the screen to get the amount, there's a part where you kick out of it if you don't want to add it to the account, but he literally clicked add on the screen each time that I reviewed for the 5 instances that I have listed there. So again, I could see it maybe being a mistake once, but not 11 times in one day. And all 5 of the accounts that I investigated, it was actually added on there. And does the employer uniformly enforce this rule with violations of, with this particular action resulting in termination? Yes, absolutely. It is heavily communicated. Again, in the training that was completed and electronically signed, it is specifically stated there that you must get customer's permission, as well as read terms and conditions and get disclosures out there to the customers before adding this feature, as well as myself and any leadership member will absolutely constantly remind that you must get this from a quality perspective as well, because we have quality that grades calls. So that's also something that you have to do, is make sure that you get permission from the customer. So yes, it is heavily documented and facilitated so that our employees know that this is how business is conducted, and it is also communicated that you will be terminated if you violate that. I don't have any further questions for you at this point. Did you have anything else that you want to testify to that relates to why he's no longer working for the company?
No, ma'am. I think we covered everything.
So, Mr. Wade, this is your opportunity to ask specific questions of the testimony that you've just heard, and you could ask them directly of Ms. Mosteller. Okay. I'm going to give you a couple of ground rules for this part of the hearing. Okay. Ms. Mosteller, the same rules will apply to you when you have an opportunity to ask questions of the testimony you hear from Mr. Wade. And during this part of the hearing, you're allowed to ask a question. When you get a response, you may follow up with another question. But only questions are allowed during this part of the hearing. Any disputes, any clarifications, any response you want to provide to what you're hearing, you'll have ample opportunity in both your testimony section as well as during the upcoming reply section of the hearing. With that information in mind, Mr. Wade, do you have any specific questions you wanted to ask of Ms. Mark?
I guess the only question I have is, now you're saying on the software that you were recording movements of mine on the accounts where I was adding the feature to these customers' accounts. Now, was it on the primary screen? Like I know that we have a script that goes through, you know, hey, you know, Scott calling, you know, thanks for calling into, you know, Verizon, you know, Textport, this is Scotty Wait, you know, Scotty Wait. Was it on that screen, or was it the actual feature screen, the secondary screen, where this took place?
Sure. So it was in ACSS. We have access to see all of the screens that you use. We can toggle back and forth. So it was in ACSS where the feature was added, which is our, you know, it's where you go in and the feature app. So it was that screen, and it was clicked on add, and then terms and conditions were generated.
Okay, so it wasn't on the it wasn't on the main screen with the script where it says, you know, calling into Verizon, because I know on that one you can say add and it'll say accept.
Hang on, you're adding a lot of testimony.
Sorry.
So think about another question and just go directly without a lot of description. Directly into that next question.
Okay, and so. Okay, so the follow-up question is, now you had said, originally had said there were 6 instances, only provided evidence for 5, and then you also said that there were 11 instances where I did add this feature, and you said that it was only in a singular day on the 14th, or was there other days that you reviewed prior to that between the 10th and 15th of November, me on this feature?
Oh, hold on. This is Judge Wallen. I'm going to interrupt you because I've already asked that question.
Okay.
And the reply on the record was that it was actually on the 13th. All of the events took place on the 13th, okay, that one day. And because they found 5 incidents, they didn't review the rest of those accounts that were added onto, nor did they investigate any other days.
Oh yeah, you're right, Your Honor. So I'm sorry.
That's okay. Just keeping it moving forward. If you have another question, you may ask it now.
I don't have any other questions, Your Honor.
Okay, and before you go, Ms. Mosteller, would you say that was an accurate recitation of your testimony on the day in question of the errors?
Yes.
Okay. So now then, there's no other questions. And Mr. Wade, we're going to turn the process, or going to switch the process, take your testimony.
Okay.
Do you agree with the dates of employment of March 25th, 2019 through November 15th of 2019?
That is correct, to my knowledge.
And was your final position as a tech support representative working full-time?
Yes.
And was the local branch office that ultimately, I know that you work at home and they mostly work online, but was the local branch office that had responsibility that you would contact in Phoenix, Arizona?
Yes. The local branch for me would have been the Sundance office where I worked previously.
Oh, one moment. Someone's been disconnected. Hang on. We're trying to reconnect with Ms. Moss.
Okay.
Hello? I can barely hear you, Ms. Moss.
Can you hear me better now?
Yep. Much better now.
Sorry, I don't know what happened. I apologize.
But that's quite all right. What was the last thing that you heard?
The last thing I heard was him confirming his date of employment.
And he indicated that he was a last position was a tech support rep. I asked if his local branch office, ultimately, that he would report to was in Phoenix, Arizona, and he was given his reply when you got disconnected. So go ahead and answer that question, Mr. White.
Okay, so there's 2 offices in Phoenix. I could report to the one where I was previously located, which was called Sundance, which is off 19th.
Okay.
Avenue.
Hang on, that's more information than I need. That's more information I need. As long as it was a office in Phoenix, I just need the town. I really don't need to have the specific branch for this purpose. Other times that might be more important. But so
yes, I could report
testimony that there was an interview with you on November 14th of 2019 regarding the accounts that had this feature added on to them. Is that accurate? Did you have an interview?
It was on the computer. So working at home, I was conferencing with Ms. Mosteller and then our supervisor, Jamar. All 3 of us.
Was that on the 14th?
That was
that on the 14th?
To my recollection, yes, it was on the 14th.
Okay. And they talk about the fact that this software program, which he had indicated into the Department of the documents, was, you pull it up, to get your estimate. But in order to add it to the customer's account, you actually have to physically hit an add button. And is that accurate?
So, in instances where we would check the price for it to see what it would be at that day, because the feature is a monthly feature. We always let the customer know, hey, it's a monthly feature that would be added to your account.
Okay, hang on. You're not answering my question. Okay. So, you're very thorough, and I know you like to give a lot of details, but I want to first kind of zero in on a few things, and then if we need to go expand out, you can give me those extra details.
Okay, I apologize, Your Honor.
So, that's okay. So, did you, in order to add that feature on to a customer account, physically have to hit an add button?
Yes, you'd have to add, you would have to add it physically, yes.
Okay, so you've heard the testimony that they, on the day before, on the 13th, found that you had added accounts, or you had added this feature to 11 accounts. They investigated 5.
Right.
And found that you had added it, and it was not an error, and the customer had not requested it. What was going on the 13th with you, with this feature?
Okay, that's a great question, Your Honor. So, on that day, I was just taking, calls as usual. Am I okay to go in detail on this one?
Go ahead. Yep.
Okay.
Stay focused in on that question, and you can give me the details. Absolutely.
Okay. I appreciate it, Your Honor. So on that day, I was just doing business as usual. Taking phone calls here at home, and with the customer solving their issues, the ones that are stated. With the 5 examples, I don't remember in great detail, again, being a few months ago, but I remember during the call, you have to mention Smart Home Support, or SHS as it's called. And so I did mention, to my recollection, I did mention the services to them, the customer, or while I was waiting to help resolve their issue, was seeing how much that feature would be for them, so I could bring that up during the phone call. At that point, I remember seeing what it would be for them, like a prorated rate, but I don't remember adding those features to any of these calls. I remember possibly mentioning it to them, or maybe looking to see what it would be, so I could mention it to them, but I don't recollect hitting submit or adding that to any of these accounts.
And would you say 11 accounts in one day is a standard amount of accounts for you to add this feature onto?
Like I said, I don't recollect adding it to 11 accounts. I've never have added it to more than maybe 3 or 4 accounts in a day. So when I saw that number, I was definitely astonished, because I don't remember adding it to 11 accounts, let alone more than, maybe 4 or 5 at the most in a given day, because phone calls can vary from being solved within a few minutes to possibly even longer, to over an hour per phone call. So, I don't recollect adding that at all to any accounts on that day without customers' permissions, let alone 11 without their knowledge.
So when you're working on an account and a feature does get added to it, is there any place on your screen that shows that you've added it to the account?
Yes. So once you do add it to the account, it then updates their bill. It shows you their monthly breakdown, what it will be for that month. So, for example, if I was talking to them today and the prorated feature was $1.15. For February, for that bill that would be coming up, it would be an extra $1.15 added to their account. And then for the next month, I believe the feature was, I think it was $10. And I don't remember, again, it's been a while since I've been with the company, but I remember it may be between under $10 or around that range, added extra to their monthly bill. And then you let them know, hey, in your upcoming bill in March, the amount will be your regular amount plus that smart home feature, which could be, again, as little as $9 or maybe around $10. Again, I don't remember the exact price point.
So when did that pop up? So you've added it, then does it pop up immediately for you to tell them,
It doesn't pop up immediately. You have to go to if I remember, again, it's been a while here, but you have to add it. You look at a different tab on that screen where you go into the billing tab, I believe, is where you'd go. And then from there, you read them the update.
Okay. Did you have any other question or any other testimony that you wanted to present as to what was going happened on that day?
So, as far as I know, it was, like I said, it was just a regular, you know, day as usual. I was taking phone calls, answering. It was primarily focused on resolving the customer's issues. So the five accounts that were presented, I was primarily fixed on resolving those issues, which I believe I did. I know that's not part of this hearing, but I pride myself on resolving customers' issues. While resolving those issues, as far as I would understand, I would either have mentioned, you know, smart home support maybe in passing or briefly mention it. And then, like I said, I would review to see how much that feature would be added, offer that to them. I don't know if I did or didn't on those accounts or instances. I would hope I did, but I didn't add it without their permission. I know I would never add anything without the customer's consent. Which is why I was shocked that I was let go over this, because I wasn't, again, there was no print warning. Ms. Massa, as my supervisor, and I would have, you know, what we call coaching sessions, one-on-one sessions, where we would go over, you know, certain, you know, things that were going on with me, any questions I had. And she never once raised a concern about this until that day when I was let go. So that I was kind of caught off guard and a little bit blindsided by the accusations.
Okay, I don't have any further questions for you. And now, Ms. Mosteller, do you have any specific questions that you wish to ask of Mr. Wade? Again, only questions.
I do not.
Then we go into the final reply period, which is an opportunity for any final replies to what you've heard or any new testimony. Ms. Mosteller, do you have any additional replies or testimony?
I do. Actually, I wanted to also include that the five accounts that were reviewed, Mr. Waite had mentioned that he would let customers know about Smart Home Support, and that's why he would pull it up to get a prorated amount for them. However, on those five accounts, there was no conversation with the customer at all about Smart Home Support, not even to the point where he should have been bringing it up to get a prorated amount. Because there was just no warning for the customer, no conversation with them, no questions asked on all five of those accounts. So basically, he pulled up the add button or the feature to add it, didn't even talk to the customer about it, didn't mention it, didn't even ask questions about it, nothing. It was just pulled up. And on one of those calls, this was done at the end of the call where the customer had actually already hung up. So I just wanted to add that piece there. I had forgot to include that in my earlier statements.
Any other testimony from you, Ms. Mostella?
Nope, that is all. Thank you so much.
Mr. Waite, this is your opportunity for any final replies or new testimony.
Yes. So, Your Honor, again, I appreciate the opportunity to be on the appeal call with you to present my side of the story or my testimony. So as far as on their end, there was quite a bit of inaccuracies. Initially, Ms. Mossar did not know I lived in Phoenix, thought I lived in Las Vegas, did not know that I had a local office to report to. Inconsistencies with the amount. Originally, there were 6 instances. Then that was down to 5 that we have presented in front of us as Exhibit 7. And then it was 11. So the numbers seemed to fluctuate. Again, didn't know that my last work day was on the 15th. Originally, I had mentioned it being on the 10th. So with the inconsistencies of the dates and testimonies, I mean, how do we know all this is accurate? I will let it be known that on most calls, on the calls that I would do, I would pull out that information for Smart Room Support to see what that would be, if it was added to their account, and then mention that to them during the phone calls. Now, maybe on these 5 instances, I may not have done that. I may have not mentioned the price, but I would have never have added it without the customer's permission. And if I did, it was purely accidental. And if that were the case, I would have followed back up with the customer or let my supervisor have known, hey, I accidentally did this. What do I do? Working at home makes that a little bit more difficult because, your supervisor may be monitoring other agents. And so the communication sometimes can be a little bit muddled there. So like I said, this was just one day on the 13th. The prior days, I know they said maybe on the 14th there was an additional day, but as far as myself, Your Honor, I would never do anything outside of the guidelines on purpose or with malice intent. Anything that was done was done strictly accidentally, and I would never do anything that would have been detrimental to both the company or the customers. And so, and again, as far as I know, with the inaccuracies from their side, I just don't think it's a fair assessment, and I believe the ruling should stand as is.
And before I end the evidentiary portion of the hearing, Ms. Mostella, did you have any questions that you have not asked?
I do not.
I didn't quite hear you.
I'm sorry. I said I do not.
Thank you. And Mr. Waite, do you have any questions that you have not asked?
I don't.
Then this ends the evidentiary portion of the hearing, and now's that opportunity for a closing statement about why I should rule in your favor. Closing statements are not evidence, and if you do not wish to make the closing statement, you may let the record rest on what has already been stated. I'm going to start with you first, Mr. Waite. Would you like to make the closing statement?
So basically, just like as I added in evidence, my closing statement is, as far as I understood, I never added this with the malintent or to do anything that would be detrimental to both the customer or the company, and was blindsided when I was by these accusations and being let go without any prior warning or any prior knowledge of a company violation. And also, during the hearing today, the inaccuracies on assuring side about the days, the number of instances that were recorded, even not knowing my termination date or my work location or even a reporting office here in Arizona. So with their inaccuracies of knowledge of myself and also with my lack of knowledge on the rules and the policies, I believe that the appeal should stand as is, and that's my closing statement, Your Honor.
And Ms. Mockbeller, would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes. So what I will say is, yes, there were some inaccuracies there and things that I've mentioned because the office that is closest to you, Mr. Waite, you're at a work-from-home position and was at a work-at-home position at the final or your final day of work. Again, once you're converted to a work-at-home position, an office close to you does not basically, it's just not something that is considered because you're a work-at-home employee. So yes, I did have some conflicting dates there, and I do apologize for that. I'm a little bit nervous, I'm not going to lie. So, you know, a little bit of date confusion. However, the fact remains that the accounts that were reviewed, the feature was added. And again, it was even done so after a customer disconnected the line. It is absolutely a violation of company policy to add anything onto a customer's account. Those 5 calls that I do have there, they were all reviewed thoroughly. And that is what we had found. We had found that you were adding on the feature to customers' accounts without your permission. And ultimately that ends in termination. So I thank you very much. I appreciate everything. That's all I have to say.
Then I will take this matter under advisement. I will consider the testimony I've heard today as well as documents entered into the record today. I'll make a decision based on the rules and regulations of the Arizona employment security laws. If the decision you receive is in your favor, you do not need to do anything further. Any changes to be made should be made automatically. If it's not in your favor and you disagree with the reasoning, then at the end of the decision will be information about your additional appeal rights, and it will instruct you not only how to file the appeal, but also the deadline to make that appeal. I have a conference time now of 11:01. I wish to thank both of you for conferencing in for our hearing today. Certainly hope the rest of your day and week will be a good one for both of you. And at this time, you are both free to hang up. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. I appreciate the opportunity to share my side. And you have a great day, too.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Goodbye.
Bye.